You're listening to The Daily Digestionalist with Matthew Heidmark at RadioArian.com.
Hello, comrades. This is your host of The Daily Traditionalist, Matthew Heimbach. I'm here today with Sven Longshanks, and if you don't notice the usual pep in my voice, it's over this case in Chicago, and it's something that Sven and I are going to talk about today. I think it's a really important thing, but to be able to see what, and we'll go into this in depth, but to be able to see the media. Right here, I'm looking at an article from the Associated Press that, for those of you who don't know, black youths from Chicago kidnapped a developmentally disabled white kid, kept him for up to 2 days, cut him to the bone of his skull, burned him, tortured him, made him drink toilet water, and were screaming, F white people, F white people, F white people. And the city of Chicago is saying, this is just kids being kids. The grandmother of one of the girls that was involved said that her granddaughter had her ups and downs, but is a good person. And the media establishment is really pushing forward this narrative that our people, when it happens to us, because we know if the races were reversed, what would happen? This would be the number one news story in the entire world. But when our kids have horrific things done for them. I mean, this was live streamed on Facebook. Millions of people have seen it now. And the media, this Jewish media establishment is still saying, well, we don't know this is about race. The police are saying it. The local community organizers are saying it. They hate us so much that even when a special needs kid is tortured on live video, we don't know if that was racist. But to dig into this more, I'm joined by my good friend Sven Longshanks. Sven, how are you doing today?
Hi, Matt. I was having a really pleasant day, and then I got home and I saw this on the news. It was actually on the BBC, and they said about what had happened and how this was streamed live on Facebook, and this poor disabled lad had been scalped, and they said that they couldn't actually show us most of the footage, and they couldn't actually tell us a lot of what had actually gone on. It was so horrific, so I've been looking around online. I've got the gist of it. I couldn't bring myself to actually watch it. I don't want to see these horrible things keep happening to our people. I know that it's happening, and I know that this is what blacks do. They're savages. They are savages. That's what they do in Africa. It's what they do in America. It's what they do in Haiti. It's just what they do. Not all of them, but some of them do, and they always will. You know, it's like not all crocodiles are man-eaters, but some of them are man-eaters. They're dangerous. You would not want crocodiles roaming around in your city. And you don't want blacks roaming around in your city either. And to hear what the official spokesman has said about this, this is just the sort of mistakes that young people make. I mean, how can they make excuses for this sort of behaviour? It's horrific. And then they're saying, well, this isn't a race hate crime. It isn't a hate crime because he was disabled. Well, I thought disabled were a minority anyway. So if they've gone after a minority, then that's a hate crime. But besides that, the reason why they went for the disabled lad is because he was white. They couldn't go for any other white lad because he'd have been able to fight back. He'd been much stronger. He wouldn't have been able to be so easy to kidnap. And basically, they've gone after this white lad because he was an easy target. They could bundle him into the car. They could pretend to be his friend to get him in the car in the first place. And then they could get him up into that room and torture him. It's also been released that this was done to this poor lad by one of the people he went to school with. So it was an acquaintance from his school. So this is what happens when you have mixed schools. You end up coming into contact with undesirables. And once that contact has been made, then when you see them out on the streets or whatever, there's an excuse for them to come over and talk to you. And that's obviously what's happened here. This black guy was obviously at his school, and he's, because of that, he's pretended to be friendly towards the white lad. The white lad hasn't you know, obviously he's disabled. He hasn't really picked up on the threat that's actually there with these blacks. And then, of course, they've done what they've done to him. And they've streamed it live on Facebook, which is, you know, that just shows you the mentality of Negroes. They just want to be famous. They don't actually think, well, they're not capable of thinking of what might happen in the future. They're not capable of thinking that that film could be used in the future, will be used in the court case, and it will be used to send them to prison. All they know is that by doing this and putting it on Facebook, the whole world will see it and they will be famous. And I think that's the only thought that went through their head when they were actually doing it. I don't think they thought about consequences, because we know that they're not capable of thinking about the future, because their languages don't have words with a future tense in Africa. They're not capable of thinking of abstract thoughts, which we see in their behavior. And of course, it means that when they're going to be violent, they're not going to think about the consequences. They're just going to act emotionally as they have. I think this is a real wake-up call for the average normie who is going to see this on the news. They haven't been able to keep it off the news now. I noticed looking through the timeline of it on the Daily Stormer, it was quite a while before the mainstream news picked up on it, but they just cannot ignore it. And also, a very good article on the Daily Stormer today is drawing parallels between Dylan Roof, whose court case, I believe it's the sentencing today, drawing parallels between the treatment that Dylan Roof has received and the reason why Dylan Roof did what he did. And then on that same day that he's been sentenced for fighting back, basically, in the way that he did, he took the wrong target, really. But I mean, that's what he was doing. He was sick to death of this sort of thing happening, white kids being attacked by blacks and the media covering it up. So on the very day that he's being punished for his response to that, the whole world is seeing the very reason why he did what he did. Obviously, we can't condone what he did, but, you know, we understand why he felt so angry and that was his only course of action. Of course, it's not the only course of action, but, you know, this is what's happening to our people. And if something isn't done about it, there are going to be more Dylan Roofs, I think.
Well, and you know, there's so much to dig into here, but something that amazed me, you're talking about being famous. They, we're talking about their promoting their SoundClouds, promoting their mixtape as they're torturing a mentally handicapped kid. And, you know, one of the things that bothered me is my wife and I were sitting and talking about this last night. And, you know, talking about the fact this guy was disabled. You know, if you want to talk about someone who's innocent of anything, the idea of going after someone like that, and she just kind of shook her head and said, you know, they would do that to Nick, my son, because if they're willing to do that, I mean, we know what they do to the elderly when they can victimize them. They're willing to do it to a developmentally disabled kid. They would do that to a child. They have no problem with that. I mean, just in Germany last week, they had there was a fight on a bus, and one of the refugees kicked, I think it was like a 13-month-old kid in the head, and there's no concern for us in any capacity. There's absolutely zero concern. But you know, this is an entire process of dehumanization of whites in America. The fact that you can sit there as the mainstream media and say that this was not racially motivated, as they're screaming "F white people," "He from Europe, he deserve it," and all these sorts of things. It could not be more clear that this was driven entirely by a hatred of white people. But they want to be able to dehumanize us, and it fits in because, you know, what was it? It was 2 weeks ago. They had the professor George Mayer from Drexel University, who, you know, we found out he was tweeting to clarify when the whites were massacred during the Haitian Revolution, that was a good thing indeed. And of course, you know, saying that what he wanted for Christmas was white genocide. And these people, what these people want, these Jewish professors, they're Gentile lackeys. And then through these multicultural programs they're doing of forcing people into our society who don't belong here in the first place, belong in their own homelands where they have their own rule of law, where they have their own society, but they're forcing them in because they know what happens with multiculturalism. They actually have their academics. And this is not a rogue professor. This is a well-seen phenomenon among academia to promote this dehumanization of whites and to be able to say, yes, when you're fighting injustice, I mean, that's why we just had the movie come out last year about Nat Turner's Slave Rebellion, where, of course, What did they do? Did they go to a slave auction and kill slavers? Did they go after the slave patrols? No, what they did is they went into family homes and butchered every man, woman, and child they could get their hands on who was white. And that's, you know, was being lauded as, let's give awards to this movie. You know, and again, I don't support the institution of chattel slavery. Slavery never should have happened in the first place. The Nation of Islam's books on the role of the relationship between Jews and blacks is great to talk about how the Jews, whether they're importing third world labor for their capitalist countries today, you know, destroying the Mexican economy, driving Mexicans into our land to be able to drive down wages and have this cheap labor force, or using the slave trade. I mean, this really is this continued policy, because they want to maximize profits whenever they can. But they, you know, you've got these Jewish academics promoting and these media moguls promoting movies about black folks butchering every white they can get their hands on. You've got this professor saying every man, woman, and child in Haiti. There were plenty of people that were white who were shopkeepers, who were also farmers, who weren't involved in any way in the colonial system and slavery. You can't put that on their hands. What this is a dehumanization of whites. And we've seen the same thing in former Rhodesia. We're seeing the same thing in South Africa. I was reading an article just yesterday before this news hit about talking about Orandia, a 1,300-person Afrikaner city that's, you know, the beginning of a Volksstaat, a people's state. And you're talking about how they need to forcibly integrate Orania, because even though they're peaceful, even though it's in accordance with the South African constitution, wherever whites are able to organize, well, that's racist and it's going to lead to discrimination that basically any, even a white town has to be dealt with. So these people, of course, the Jews are the Pied Pipers. They're the ones leading all of this through their media. They're the ones promoting this in every single corner, trying to manipulate our youth, trying to, you know, really provoke this racial animosity and hatred between different groups. And they're the ones who are inevitably responsible for this. But this is multiculturalism. And I truly think, and I want to know your thoughts on this, Sven, but this is a long-term process of dehumanization. It goes back to World War II and World War I even, where, you know, the Germans were Huns and they were pictured as in all the propaganda as being subhuman. And you know, we did that, of course, to the Japanese. And now the Jewish system, after we've defeated the Jews' enemies, are just doing that to whites in the media, whether it's mocking us in sitcoms, whether it's attacking us in academia, whether it's displacing us or supporting affirmative action. They are trying to dehumanize us to justify destroying us.
Well, yeah, they constantly make us out to be the enemy. It's you know, you use the word there, dehumanize. But even if something is an animal and not human, you're not going to treat it in that way. And I think this highlights the difference between whites and blacks. I mean, white people, we see animals, we treat them well, you know, we have pets. Negroes don't treat animals well. None of the other races treat animals well. 99% of all vets are white. You see hideous mistreatment of animals among the other races. And when blacks see somebody who is vulnerable, they don't feel the same way about that as we do. They see that as a weakness. They see it as somebody who is weaker than them that they can then crush down, basically. Whereas when white people see somebody who is vulnerable, we have compassion for them. You know, we say this is what it means to be human, is to have compassion for things that are weaker than you, more vulnerable than you. And I'm not talking about weak in spirit here. I'm talking about physically weak, people that are physically weaker than you, not as strong as you. Negroes just see that as something to attack. That means we can attack that because it's weaker than us. It's more vulnerable than us, which is why they went after this guy. They wanted to go after somebody who was white because they hate white people. They've been taught to hate white people. They've been taught to blame white people for every problem that they have because they've been told that they are equal to us, which they obviously are not equal to us. They're not equal in intelligence ways. They're not equal in creative ways. They don't even look anything like us, which really should, you know, tell us that they are not going to be like us. But because of that, because they're not able to compete with us, and yet they've been told they're the same as us. They've been told that they have just as much entitlement to everything that the white man has worked hard for. And because they don't have that, because they're not capable of saving, because they're not capable of thinking of the future, because they're not capable of getting up in the morning and doing hard graft, because they don't have the ability to do that. They don't have the stamina that white people have. Because of all that, these physical differences, And they're told that, no, these aren't physical differences. It's all because the white man is keeping you down. That's why you don't have that flash car. That's why you don't have all this money. That's why you don't have all these white girlfriends. It's all to do with the white man that's keeping you down. It's all racism. All the white man wants to do is just kill blacks. That's all the police do. They just go out all day looking for innocent Negroes to kill. This is the way that they think. So when they see a vulnerable white lad, a disabled white lad, they think, well, we can get our own back. We can get our own back on him. And they, I think a lot of the time they think they're not going to be punished either. And they think, well, if it was a black jury, they wouldn't punish me because they know that the white man deserves it. And these idiot lefties that think that because they support leftist causes that Negroes aren't going to go after them, they're living in cloud cuckoo land. They really are, because it's all down to race. If the blacks rose up,
it's like Sven, just to pop in real quick. That communist from South Africa, this white communist who did everything against apartheid, promoted this white privilege thing, and attacked Afrikaners and Boers, spent his entire life attacking white South Africans, and a group of blacks burst into his home and stabbed him to death in front of his family. So all of his credentials from being one of the good whites to the ANC government wasn't enough to stop him from being killed by the forces of multiculturalism that he supposedly loved so much.
Well, yeah, this disabled kid, he may well have been liberal. You know, he was brought up in the liberal system. There's nothing to say, nothing to even say that he did support Donald Trump. You know, he was probably just brought up in this leftist system, went along with that, was anti-racist. He was obviously anti-racist because he got in a car with this Negro. He must have thought this Negro was his friend. And yet they attacked him because he was white. It's got nothing to do with, what your politics are. It's all to do with your race. And this is down to this dehumanization that you talk about, Matt. In everything that you look at on the television or in the movies, it's always the white man that is the bad guy. Especially in the hit movies like the Quentin Tarantino ones, it's always the white guy, or it's the Germans, especially the Germans. And another thing they like to do is they like to always give them British accent to the arch enemy. This is probably something you don't notice so much, Matt, but they often like to make the real bad guy the British guy. It's the Jews that have done this, and yet we're the ones that went to war for them and destroyed our brothers in Germany, supposedly to rescue these Jews from the gas chambers. And how have they repaid us? By dehumanizing us in Hollywood, by calling for more and more invasion into our countries, and then winding the immigrants up and telling them that all their failures are down to the white man. And a total treacherous, treasonous behavior to people that, really, if it wasn't for us, they would have nothing. And yet this is the way that they repay us. And they make out that Europe wouldn't be Europe if it didn't have its Jews. America wouldn't be America if it didn't have its Jews. Well, if we didn't have our Jews, then we wouldn't have the Muslims and the blacks here either. The blacks would have been encouraged to go back from America once they were freed. I mean, they have to be only slaves in the whole of history that once they were freed, they decided to stay where they were instead of going back home, which is where they should be. I mean, it's just beyond belief that this can go on and people don't speak up and join nationalism. Why isn't there an uprising? Why isn't there a white revolution in America because of this? If white police had grabbed a disabled Negro kid off the street and scalped him and tortured him, the whole of America would be in flames at the moment against the police. The whole of America would be. And yet what we've got here at the moment, we're not really seeing anything. It's only just come on the news, and it's only a short 2 or 3 minute long piece, and they're trying to say that race isn't involved in it. How can race not be involved in this when they're talking about Europeans and white so and so? How can race not be involved in this? How can normies not see what is going on in front of their very eyes? That we are the oppressed minority, we are the ones that don't have any laws to protect us, and these blacks are the ones that are being covered up for all the time. And they are savages. This behavior is the sort of behavior that you expect to see in the jungles of the Congo, not what you expect to see in a first world city in the most advanced nation on earth, America. You do not expect to see this sort of behavior, but we do all the time. I mean, you can say this is a particularly shocking incident, but all the time we are hearing about whites that have been treated in this way, which is why Dylann Roof did what he did. I mean, just the fact that Dylann Roof did what he did a couple of years back, and then you've got this happening today, and this shows you that this isn't a rarity, this isn't a one-off, this isn't a separate incident without other incidents that have happened before. You know, this is a common situation. What is uncommon about this is that it was actually live streamed so that everyone can see what happened. Because, you know, I remember when I was doing the race war section at the Daily Stormer, you know, every week there would be tales of white kids that have been tortured to death. The difference with this is that the white kid that's been tortured has actually been beamed out live on Facebook. That's the difference. And I hope they do more of that, because I know they're going to be torturing white kids. I just hope they stick it out on Facebook more, because then the mainstream media has to cover it. And we have to get the mainstream media covering this sort of crime.
Well, and Sven, that's the most amazing thing about this entire case is how often does this happen and it doesn't make the news? You know, and even us on the alt-right, you know, we might be able to, it has to filter through somewhere, right? For us to be able to grab a hold of it and bring prominence to it. You know, usually it's local reporters are usually much more open and honest about reporting what's going on than the national media. But even that, it takes a local reporter to find out about the story and publish it. For us to be able to see it, unless you live in that town, you know, it's very hard for information to get out. So, how many times does this happen? I mean, how many times has this happened in Chicago alone? Again, this is a city where almost 1,000 people were murdered last year. Almost 1,000 people. We're talking about it is more dangerous to live in Chicago for a year than it is to go and be an American soldier over in Iraq and Afghanistan. I mean, it is an absolute war zone. They call it Chi-Raq for a reason. That not only are black gangbangers killing one another in record numbers, but the attacks on whites are increased. I mean, yeah, there's not many whites left in Chicago, except in some Polish neighborhoods, some Italian neighborhoods, you know, that have really held strong. But how many of our sons and daughters have been victimized like this, and we never hear about it? If this wasn't live-streamed, this never would have gotten out. I mean, how many rapes? I mean, you think about, you know, what happens every single day. How many murders? How many elderly people? I mean, there was that case, I believe it was in Georgia or Alabama last year, where, you know, a white woman, an elderly lady, had hired some black helpers to pick strawberries on her land or something like that. And the guy broke in and then lit her on fire and burned her to death. And then she was in incredible pain for several days until finally, mercifully, you know, God took her. But I mean, think of that. The idea that you're doing something nice for someone and, they repay you by breaking into your home, tying you up, demanding more money. You don't have more money. You were just trying to be nice in the first place. And then, to repay your kindness, they burn you to death. I mean, this is the necklacings that happen in South Africa. This is, the stabbings and the crimes that we see all throughout Europe. I mean, how many of these cases have never, ever made the mainstream news? How many families have been ruined? How many lives have been lost? How many children have been buried? And we've never even heard their names because of this Jewish media system that does everything it can to hide this. So I think this case, we need to spend a lot of time. We need to be bringing attention to this and keep the pressure up. This deserves hate crime charges. These people need to be going away for the rest of their lives. End of story. Kidnapping, aggravated assault, murder. Obviously, this was premeditated. All those things together. They need to be in jail for the rest of their lives. And we cannot let this case go. Because this is really almost an avatar of what happens to whites every single day in the West. And we never learn the victims' names. It's always, you know, even if it makes the news, it's on B17, you know, in the metro section. It's not front page news. Kim Kardashian's latest exploits with whoever she's dating or seeing or whatever Kanye did. That's page one. But, you know, elderly people being burned to death or kids being stabbed or young white girls being groomed and trafficked and raped. That's, you know, that isn't newsworthy according to this Jewish system. And, you know, I'm looking at the comments on one of this article, and I kid you not, it's so disgusting, but I have to read it. One of the comments, it's not a hate crime if the victim is white. In the current cultural model, the oppressor cannot also be the recipient of oppression, which is the definition of a hate crime. and what they're all about. It is natural to hate the white oppressor. Therefore, it is really just a crime.
Yeah, that's the mentality. That is like the mentality.
I mean, what else can you say than that? That they're justifying this. These people hate us, and the Jews are cheering them on.
Do you think, you think this was the other way around? There'd be any white person that was justifying it? Wouldn't be.
No, not at all. And that's the thing. If this was reversed, you were 100% right, Sven. America would be on fire right now. They would be burning down neighborhoods and suburbs left and right. But when it happens to us, whites have been their spirits have been kicked down, that they need to raise their eyes and look on God's green earth, that we have a duty. You know, when I think of Robert Matthews and his famous speech he gave at the Aryan Nations Convention, over 2 decades ago, and when he said, stand up like men. And that is a sentiment that we need to remember. Now, of course, we do not have a sympathetic system on our side. We must follow the laws. We must be a peaceful movement. But we need to stand up like men. Because if we don't, this is going to continue. And that blood is on the Jews' hands, but it's also on ours because we're letting this system continue. We need to stand up and to speak for these victims and to make sure that this doesn't happen again.
Well, we should be highlighting all the other instances of the black and white crime. I mean, you mentioned how many white women get raped by blacks over there. In America, that's one every 15 minutes. One every 15 minutes. I think I worked out how many white people get murdered by blacks in Britain, and that was two a week. It was one every 3 days. This was a couple of years back that I worked this out for a blog post. But you think one white woman raped every 15 minutes by a Negro, and there are no Negro women that are ever raped by white men. So you look at that disparity between the figures there, and yet you just don't hear about it. These attacks on white people, you mentioned setting fire to them. I mean, this is so common. You know, I've lost count of the amount of white women that have been burned to death, basically, or their bodies have been found burnt out in the back of cars, rolled up in carpets and set fire to. There was that young white girl just last year. That did actually make the news, that made international news, that was tortured and set fire to. And I still don't think they've actually got the perpetrators of that one. A lot of the time, they don't actually catch them. And of course, she had a black boyfriend. She hung around with blacks. She mysteriously got burned to death, basically, after taking lots of drugs. This is just something common that we see. When white people hang around with blacks, when they have black boyfriends, the chances of being murdered and set fire to suddenly increase by about 1,000 times what they were before. If you look at, I'm just trying to remember these figures here, but for, I think it's for white women that marry blacks, they're 8 times more likely to get murdered by their husband. 8 times more likely. I think you can find the figures on the Council for Concerned Citizens on that one. All of the statistics show that blacks have so much higher propensity than we do to commit these violent crimes. And yet the media never draws, it never actually draws attention to that fact. It always says that these are isolated incidents. It'll be telling us that this is an isolated incident of a young white disabled lad being attacked. But it's not an isolated incident. It's something that happens time and time and time again. You know, I bet just today you'll be able to look through the race war section at the Daily Stormer and you'll be able to find other white men under the, you know, that have had something like this happen to them, have either been murdered or been tortured, or white women that have been abused by their black boyfriends. It just happens all the time. And the average normie just thinks, oh, well, we don't see race. It's just a male doing this to a female or a male doing this to a young kid. But you've got to look beyond that. You've got to look at the race that is actually doing this and look at them as a group, not as individuals. You've got to look at them as a group. And as a group, they are completely dangerous, basically. There's nothing else you can say about it. They're just dangerous. You know, they're like, it's like having crocodiles or wild bears living in your city to be living alongside blacks. You know, this poor kid, if he'd gone to a school that had been all white, then this wouldn't have happened because he wouldn't have known this black guy that went up to him and enticed him to get in his car. You know, he would have said, who are you? No, I don't get in the car with strangers. But because he'd been told that blacks are our friends, you know, that everyone is just the same, everyone's a friend, then this is what happens. You know, we've got to just look, we've got to look out for our own race, and we've got to make sure that we have an ethnostate and that we keep these other races out. Otherwise, this is just going to keep on happening. As I say, I hope that they film these events more. You know, that's all we can hope for, really, is that they film these things more when they do this, and then it gets on the mainstream news. Because if it gets on the mainstream news like it has now, then, you know, they have to answer our questions, don't they? They have to respond. You know, they have to actually charge these blacks with a hate crime after this has been shown on the telly like this.
Well, and, you know, it's a phrase that I think is so important, and we need to use this as a mantra all the time. If white people had a country of our own, this wouldn't be happening. Whether it's the terror attacks of families being run down at a Christmas market or at a Bastille Day celebration, whether it's the grooming gangs, whether it's the rapes, whether it's the murders, or whether it's a mentally handicapped young boy being tortured for 2 days and being scalped on live stream on Facebook. If white people had a country of our own, this would not be happening. That is the solution. That's what we're working towards. Sven, I really appreciate you being here. And I appreciate you, ladies and gentlemen. Keep this up. If you're still on Twitter, my account, of course, was Showed. But if you're on Twitter, engage this. Go to the comment sections, get involved. And we're going to be planning something for Chicago. Details to be forthcoming. But thank you guys so much. Thank you, Sven. Hail victory.
You've been tuned into The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heimbach at Radio Area. .com